Our first scripture reading today is Psalm 85. Flip that sideways. Okay. O God, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O God, and grant us your salvation. Let us hear what God will speak, for God will speak to this people, to the faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts. Surely God's salvation is at hand for those who live in reverence, that the divine glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. God will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go down before God and will make a path for God's own steps. And the next scripture reading is Amos 7, verse 7 through 17. This is what God showed me, Amos writes. Yahweh was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in hand. And Yahweh said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then Yahweh said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple.
Ananda got us thinking last week about the word, the work and the words of the prophets in her compelling prompting that was launched with Ezekiel's declaration, Thus says the Lord, whether we hear or refuse to hear, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. As I said in my Thursday email blast, I chose the article, the title of this morning's prompting, which, by the way, did not make it into your bulletin. So, in case you don't remember from Thursday, it's Keep Down the Racket. Keep down the racket. Well, I came up with that title as we were in the office this week surrounded by Las Gatas Roofing Company. They were mainly above us. First they were tearing off the roof and then they were rebuilding the office roof. It was a very noisy week at 1140 Cowper. So the title, Keep Down the Racket, was inspired by those roofers. But it also oddly applies to today's lesson, a story that was taken from the prophet Amos. I'm sure you had that sense surging in you as Karen read the text. Keep down the racket. It's hard to imagine that that was also not the reaction of the folks that were on the receiving end of Amos's famous tirades. They probably had that same urge to say, keep down the racket. But as Ezekiel was quick to warn, Whether we listen or not, there's no denying that a divine message is coming at us through our ears. Yes, there's noise, but with the prophets, more notably, through the mind and through the heart to the conscience, that's where they get us, in the conscience. There's no mistaking the prophetic witness as they pierce through the fluff and call people of faith to make God's love and God's justice tangible and palpable in the everyday circumstances of our lives, and to make a very noisy racket on behalf of God, the God who loves all of creation and each creature in it with a mother's fierce and tender love. And it will surprise not one person here that the words and the work of the prophets of yore are at least as relevant today as they were 3,000 years ago. Abraham Heschel wrote the definitive book on the prophets, aptly called The Prophets. Those mortals who were somehow so closely aligned with God that they actually felt and expressed God's pain in the face of inhumanity. It's as if their words were God's own. To us, Abraham Heschel said, a single act of injustice, cheating in business, exploitation of the poor, is slight. To the prophets, it's a disaster. To us, injustice is injurious to the welfare of people. To the prophets, it is a death blow to existence. To us, an episode. To them, a catastrophe, a threat to the world. He goes on saying, we ourselves witness continually acts of injustice, manifestations of hypocrisy, falsehood, outrage, misery, but we rarely grow that indignant or overly excited. To the prophets, though, even a minor injustice assumes cosmic proportions. And then he continues saying, prophecy is the voice that God has lent to silent agony, the voice of the plundered poor. God is raging in the prophet's words. Well, as a result, and this is not a surprise, the prophets were not particularly popular. They were equal opportunity alienators in their drive to bring the world into a divine focus. So enter Amos, who by his own description was not from a line of prophets. He was not a member of the Prophets Guild. He was, as he might have said, minding my own business, he said. There he was, tending his flock, dressing his sycamore trees, whatever that means. When God grabbed him and sent him to preach to the nations. And though this happened about 2,800 years ago, his prophecy sort of reads like a Twitter alert. Truly, if Amos were around today, he'd be on YouTube and he'd go viral. Israel was a nation of plenty in the days of Amos, a time of splendor and elegance, and they had significant power. The text in Amos says that the rich had their summer and their winter palaces adorned with costly ivory and gorgeous couches with big fluffy pillows on which they could recline and eat their sumptuous feasts. They had vineyards and they anointed themselves with precious oils. The women, as Amos said, not winning any points, I imagine, are like the fat cows and were addicted to wine. But at the same time, the poor were afflicted and exploited and sold into slavery, and the judges were just as corrupt as could possibly be. And so Amos first came to them and cajoled, "Seek Yahweh and live. Seek Yahweh and live." But to no avail. And so the hammering began. And this is what Amos told them, that God told him to say to them, "I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and cereal offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings and your fatted beasts, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the melody of your harps. I will not listen. But let justice swell up as waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." And then the prophet showed this very striking image, a plumb line, a reliable measure whereby to determine if a wall is true. And it should be true, he reasoned, since that same wall was built with that very same plumb line. Well, of course, Amos wasn't talking about warped walls here, but rather warped people. People should have known better, he knew. They should have behaved better because they had heard the same challenge for generations and generations and generations of their faith. And so Amos reframed it again, just in case they had forgotten, saying, "Let justice roll down like waters. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." See, he said there are no secrets here. There's no mystery how people can measure up in God's eyes. It has been written in our consciences since creation's beginning. Justice. Justice is the plumb line and living in right relation with creation. And then something eerily familiar happened to Amos. He was declared an extremist and a threat to homeland security, really. Now we're treading on very familiar ground because this is still happening to boat rockers. Remember back when J. Edgar Hoover began an FBI file on Martin Luther King Jr., absolutely convinced that he was a dupe of the Communist Party. And he shared this, well, what we would call today fake news, with succeeding presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson. Yes, those who confront corrupt power will always be accused of extremism and conspiracy. In King's case, of course, like Amos, his conspiracy was with God and God's demands for justice. Was not Jesus an extremist for love, Dr. King asked? Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Like the nation of Israel of old in the times of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Amos, the church has a checkered history in relation to power and privilege and wealth. And so the prophets say to us today that we are called to use our privilege, to use our power, to challenge even or maybe especially our own systems that diminish any soul. For every soul is the image of God. Every soul. The refugee soul. The immigrant soul. The very young soul. The very old soul. The queer soul. The unsheltered soul. The war-weary soul. All souls that are abused or misused or exhausted, just exhausted, Every soul is the image of God. Jeremiah puts it into perspective as we are called to work with God and with each other to transform the world with one act of love at a time. Jeremiah said, "Thus says Yahweh, let not the wise ones glory in their wisdom. Let not the mighty ones glory in their might. Let not the rich ones glory in their riches. But let those who boast, boast of this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Holy One who practices kindness and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says God." Beloved friends, the prophet's job was a thankless one back then and is again or still today. We printed a couple of pictures on your bulletin of two modern prophets. This is for your meditations. The first is Oscar Romero, who will be coming up so you can see him. There he is. The martyred Archbishop of El Salvador, who experienced a dramatic conversion to identify with the poor, leading him to speak and preach against the atrocities of his own government in El Salvador and its paramilitary guerrillas, the terror, the torture, the death squads, rape, and human rights abuses. He was labeled an extremist. Dr. King would say, an extremist for love. And he was declared a risk to national security. And finally, like Dr. King, was assassinated. And then William Barber, co-founder of the new Poor People's Campaign, of which we're invited to take part, please rush home and listen to his message on YouTube. William Barber, Oscar Romero, the nuns on the bus, Martin Luther King Jr., and the prophets of old, they stir up a racket. And they direct us to stir up a racket too. For we too are called back into our very lives as people made for justice and formed for faithfulness. God cares about this. Justice is more than an idea or a norm. Justice is God's own organizing principle, God's plumb line. And so with the prophets and with the cloud of witnesses who are the children of the prophets, let us tend to their words and seek to align our lives with God. And then the promise of the psalmist will come true. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, and righteousness and peace will kiss. John Lewis, that dogged old prophet from the state of Georgia, will close us with this. He says, "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not of the single day or week or month or year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and to get into good trouble. Good trouble. Necessary trouble." Amen. You have an insert. I invite us to use this as a closing litany to the sermon. This I dare believe. I will read the non-italicized text, and you all read the italicized text. This is God's world, and it is not aimless. Time has a purpose, and God is its steward. It is not possible that greed and injustice are forever. It is not possible that the meek will stay dispossessed. It is not possible that the merciful will always